I heard my name was disparaged last week because something about I go too long. And now Pastor Vogan, I wasn't there last week, so he didn't know what to do with that extra 20 minutes or so, whatever it was. All right, so I didn't know whether to make that up this morning and speak till 10:25 or... okay. All right, well, this morning we look at Baptist history, and I wanted to look at something a little out of the ordinary we don't talk about, but the island nation of Cuba and the Baptist influence there. And the island nation of Cuba has long been plagued with political instability. It has gone back and forth between Spain and nations that wanted to take it from Spain, and there's been several wars over that island. The Bible says that God still uses the wrath of men to praise him. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says, "Wherefore I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound." And I wanted to talk about that this morning. The Baptist outreach in Cuba began a little over 100 years ago, about 150 years ago. And during one of the two struggles that the country had against Spain, and during that first insurrection in 1868 to 1878, three Cuban women that were exiled made their way to the state of Mississippi in the United States. And it was during their time in America that they heard the gospel for the first time, and they were saved. And then after the insurrection was over, they went back to Cuba. And when they went back to Cuba, they corresponded with the pastor that had led them to the Lord back in Mississippi, and they requested missionary assistance for this land that was just, there was no gospel preaching in Cuba at that time. And so in 1879, that pastor, Reverend J.B. Hamberlin, he wrote to the Baptist State Convention, and in the course of time, his request was investigated, and Cuba was made the responsibility of the home mission board of the Southern Baptist Convention. And so they went into Cuba and began establishing and knocking on doors and establishing churches. Then after the second rebellion against Spain in the 1890s, the Baptists again had another Baptist convention get into Cuba and start spreading the gospel. And then when peace was restored, the Southern Baptist Convention purchased a theater in downtown Havana. The work began in earnest, and the building was eventually dedicated to God on February 15, 1891. A church was begun there, and a great thriving church was there. It became the center for evangelistic outreach throughout the island. In time, there was a seminary, a high school established. There was a print shop, several apartments for missionaries to live in while they were there. And then, as I said, there were these two Baptist mission boards helping there in the island of Cuba. And that is how the gospel was established in that island in the 1800s. Now we're going to skip ahead a bit. And in 1914, a man by the name of Antonio Loyola was born at the age of 14. 14 years later, he accepted the Lord as his Savior. He was found to be a very gifted lad. He sensed the call of God on his life, and he was called to preach. At age 15, he began actually his public ministry, and he was put in charge of a mission there near Havana. This young man served the Lord. He proved faithful. He later married two of his children. We're going to get to this in just a minute, but two of his children followed him into the ministry, and actually his son Roberto is now the pastor of the Central Havana Baptist Church at this moment in Havana. And his other son followed him into the ministry. He's the assistant pastor to his son Roberto. But this man, Antonio, was the Reverend Antonio, was tireless in his labor. His ministry extended for over 40 years. He served as a pastor, as an evangelist, and I won't go into his entire ministry, but he traveled into Guatemala and to overseas to Spain. And actually, in 1973, he came to the United States and preached in Spanish-speaking churches for over a month. And that was a time when he was allowed to do that. Then there was the crackdown a little after that. And what I didn't mention was that he was a very eloquent Baptist preacher, stood for God, had standards, And he began several Baptist churches in and around Havana. And then he pastored one himself, even while he was evangelizing. As I said, he was one of the most eloquent preachers in Cuba. His fame became well known because of a radio ministry that he had that broadcast even into Florida, and the Cuban Americans there could hear that. But then in the course of time, the Cuba, of course, is a very strong communist nation, and the radio program was shut down. He was actually imprisoned with over 40 other pastors for 3 years under Castro's regime. And then he was let go later after 3 years. He continued to preach and establish churches. Now, what's interesting about these churches is that Cuba, in a sense, it's an underground church in a sense, and they're allowed to have churches, but when the churches get too large, and the churches get to about 200, the government breaks them up into smaller groups, so they can't have large groups of Christians meeting together. And so there is some, you know, I'll say, leniency to Christianity, even in this communist nation, but it is very difficult to serve the Lord and very difficult to help people grow as a pastor and as a church. And so it is a very difficult area, even though there is some leniency. But this man also has written a lot, but his writings even has an Old Testament commentary that had never been allowed to be published because the government won't allow that to happen. But then after several strokes in his old age, the Lord graciously called Pastor Antonio Loyola home on February 3rd, 1991. He left his two sons, as I said, in the ministry, and they are serving the Lord there today. And, you know, what's the spiritual future of Cuba? We really don't know. I do know that the gospel is preached there. It is limited in a sense because of the government there that will not allow, as I said, only a certain amount of Christianity to exist. But as Paul said, the word of God is not bound, and thousands have been saved in that nation. And we should pray for Cuba. You know, Castro is still alive. His brother Raul runs the country now. And recently there's been some, I think, mistaken overtures by our government to kind of start dealing with these communists. In actuality, they would need to be overthrown, and so that freedom can reign, and with the freedom is going to come the spread of the gospel. I know there are many missionaries primed and ready to go into Cuba. Many boards across the country, good Baptist boards, have missionaries ready to go into Cuba as soon as that country opens up. So we should pray for that country as not only for the revival of the national believers, but those thousands and thousands that are there in that country that have a difficult time hearing the gospel, that these pastors that are serving God there very difficultly, as they serve God, can get to these unsaved and reach them for the Lord.